And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780, ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed any of the first hour, lots of good football stuff all over the place, then check it out on podcastarena.com. Full show podcast, mostly probe a little college, talk a little UT, talk a little UH, talk a little bit about the Miami game, and a lot of stuff on the NFL, including your Texans and their victory. So any of those things are up for grabs if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. Kenneth on the Facebook page posted something, and I went back to check it out because I didn't really believe it. Said, guys, will you tell ESPN to do away with their total QBR? It is a joke. As great as Brady was on Thursday, Aaron Rodgers had a better QBR than him against the Broncos than Brady had against the Dolphins. Rodgers was just awful last night. Also, the immortal Ryan Fitzpatrick has a higher QBR than Brady for the season. Explain that, please. I could probably easier explain the Ryan Fitzpatrick thing. I don't know how you could – I don't know by what metric you can look at Aaron Rodgers last night, give him a 64.6, and give Brady a 60.7.
I don't know how it works either.
So, yeah. I mean, I think that's just – yeah, it's the weekly leader. And Alex Smith, 97.9, that makes sense. Carson Palmer, 97.2, that makes sense. Drew Brees, 95.7. Eli Manning, 94.1 in a loss. Peyton Manning, 93.6. Derek Carr, 93.6. I'm not seeing anything here that surprises me. Jameis Winston, 93. Seems a little high for him, but okay. Phillip Rivers, 92.3. Jay Cutler, 87. And then you have a huge drop-off to the 60s.
All had pretty good games, yeah.
Yeah, but then – but is there really a –
I don't 30 understand point
the difference between what Phillip Rivers did and what Tom Brady did.
No, the Tom Brady's the one guy on that list that it surprises me that that's what they gave him. I don't understand. I don't know the science behind it, but that's that number is surprising to me for
sure. Yeah, I can't figure it out. So I wish I had an answer for you. I don't use it that often, but I've been using it. But stuff like that makes me.
I mean,
really?
It's a number. It's one of these
I get
advanced stats,
and I appreciate that they're trying to do that. But boy, you'd have to explain that one to me.
Yeah,
713-780-ESPN. All right, let's go through the rest of the NFL because it was a pretty interesting day, and it started off very early in the morning.
It's 8:30. It's not that early.
It's very early, especially if you're out Saturday night until 3.
I say, you're like the guy who's always up. I mean, when I've got to get up for an 8:30 game on a Sunday, I'm a little bit like, oh, wow, this is pretty early.
Well,
you, I would expect, it should be no big deal.
I was out till after 3 on Saturday night.
Oh, so. Come on.
All right, so I'm just having a good time.
All right.
Checking out all the costumes. It was a good night for costumes, I'll just tell you that. All right, the Chiefs beat the Lions 45-10. Not much to say about this other than the first 5 minutes of the game, I was going to set an over-under on how often the announcers were going to say Jim Bob Cooter. Well, they could stop that because that game got out of hand fast.
Yeah, the Lions are really, really awful, and there's not really anyone else to point the finger at. I think they've got a head coach problem. I really think they've got an ownership problem, which is where everything starts. But there's no quick fix for this Lions team. They're the worst team, and that's saying something having watched Tennessee yesterday.
Buccaneers beat the Falcons 23-20. I'm going to give the Bucs a little credit for almost blowing the lead and then coming back in overtime and playing great defense when they needed to. But this is more about the Falcons for the second week in a row. 4 turnovers, can't score in the red zone. You give up back-to-back pass interference penalties that basically give the Bucs a touchdown. You can't beat the Titans doing that, much less a decent Bucs team. I'm not going to give too much credit to the Bucs. This was more about the Falcons playing like garbage, and I'm starting to wonder about this team, to be honest.
Yeah, a lot of sloppy football. A lot of guys putting the ball on the ground, and the difference was the Falcons fumbled 4 times. Tampa recovered 3 of those fumbles.
Yep.
The Bucs fumbled 3 times. And they didn't lose any of them.
Right.
I mean,
that's throwing a Matt Ryan interception, and that's...
Yep. Julio Jones gets it. The ball just yanked out of his hands. Julio Jones, one of the strongest receivers in the NFL, who's just, like, saying, hey, give me that ball, bro. That's a bully move. I don't know how that's happening, but yeah, the Falcons, like I said, the Falcons are a team that I could completely see melting down, but these are games they should win.
Yeah,
at home against Tampa, there's no excuse.
No, that and realistically, that's one of those, if you go look at the yardage, they should have dominated that game, but they didn't. Cardinals beat the Browns 34-20. Another one of those tale of two halves games. The first half, the Browns looked like they were going to shock the world, and then the Cardinals get their act together and just do what they've been doing all year.
What's funny is both of those are teams going in that I was like, Cleveland's better than 2-6 or 2-5. I thought Cleveland is better than what they've been showing, and I think, you know, I think Arizona's one of the better teams in the league. And I was like, God, I didn't know Cleveland was that much better. And then Arizona turned it on and got it going. Carson Palmer
playing at a very high
level. That guy is doing it, man. And
so much of it is coaching. Bruce Arians is using him perfectly. He's perfect for what Arians wants. And I think you're seeing him play at maybe the highest level of his career.
Well, you could definitely argue that, yeah. And he's got some really good weapons, which helps.
Yeah.
You know, but that was a hell of a showing by him yesterday, for sure.
The Rams beat the 49ers 27-6. The 49ers are a complete joke. We heard earlier already that they've traded Vernon Davis to the Broncos. And the Rams, Todd Gurley has just emerged as an absolute beast for them.
Todd Gurley's amazing, but I don't think it would have taken amazing to beat this team.
I think you could have gone out there and run for 100 yards yesterday, frankly.
The 49ers are just an awful team, and there's not really anything good to say about them. Defensively, they're bad. Offensively, they're worse. Now, it doesn't help that they were without Carlos Hyde, and then they lose their backup, who's Reggie Bush. They lose him in the first quarter.
Which, by the way, concrete. What the hell?
Okay, well, how about this? What the hell? If your starting running back is out, and you say, "Okay, well, we got to put a heavy workload on Reggie Bush today," Reggie Bush. Don't you say, "Let's find someone else to return kicks."
You would think.
That's just me. If I had a guy like with Reggie Bush's injury history, I'd say, you know what would be smart? If we let someone else play special teams today and we just count on Reggie to give us some carries.
Yeah. Even so, though, you don't expect him to run into concrete on an NFL stadium.
Well, in St. Louis you do. That happens all the time.
Well, but that's just stupid.
It's funny. Those guys get on that concrete and it looks like they're on ice skates all of a sudden. You just slide and then boom.
The Saints and Giants, this was the only bet I made yesterday. I bet the over.
It's a safe play.
I was pushing at halftime. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So I could relax and enjoy the rest of the day. But Saints went at 52-49, and the Giants, again, at the end of the game. I don't know that they were going to win that game. And, frankly, the defensive touchdown they got was kind of a fluke that got them.
That was an awesome play, though.
It was, but I don't know what would happen in overtime. But in that situation, you've got to get yourself to overtime. I mean, you can't. Yeah, punt the ball out of bounds. I mean, they'd have. There's no time for them to get downfield to get in field goal range, and instead you get a long return. You get a face mask on your punter. Field goal at the end. 4 seconds left. Saints win. And now, don't look now, but the Saints are 4-4.
Yeah. The Giants 4-4 too.
Which is probably going to win the East.
The Giants really should be about 7-1, which is the crazy thing. They, like you said, mismanagement at the end of games. They're just not very good there. And maybe some of it's bad luck, but my bigger concern is both of these teams defensively. How do you let that happen?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you let either one of these guys have the day that they had? I don't see it. It was like a video game.
Yeah, 13 combined touchdown passes. Drew Brees ties the record with 7. He's 40 of 50 for 511 yards.
Yeah. That's 70 of 91 they combined for 861 yards. That's video game, like, on rookie. That's Madden on rookie level.
I like that. Vikings go in and beat the Bears 23-20. And I think the bad news here, it looks like Matt Forte's hurt.
Yeah, and man, not only is it bad news for them going forward, that's the reason they lost the game. Jeremy Langford comes in, and Jeremy Langford's a nice rookie. I think that guy can play. But you lose that pass-catching ability of Matt Forte, and they throw the ball to him, and it just hits him in the hands, and he drops a first down that would have probably taken him down and close to winning the game. And, you know, when you're the Bears, you can't afford many mistakes like that. They're not a really super talented team to begin with. It's Alshon Jeffrey and a bunch of guys, and they just – Cutler didn't have the big mistake yesterday.
No, he can't.
Everything was set up for them to win. But yeah, and they just didn't.
You get the Vikings in a close game, though. They figure out a way to win, which, you know, it's one of those.
They're a mentally tough team. They are. And
I like the way they're playing. I don't think they're – I think they're a step below the really good teams in the NFC, but keep finding ways to win and beat teams you're supposed to beat, and that's what they did.
Yeah, they're 5-2, and somehow they lost to the 49ers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
– To this day, I'm still baffled by
it. I'm eager to see them against the Rams next week because, I mean, these are two teams who are fighting for the same thing, yeah, for a wild card spot, and I'm eager to see which one of those teams is more of the real deal.
And they're very similar teams. They both play really good defense for the most part. I think the Rams are a little better on that side of the ball. They both have elite running backs. And you know what? I think the Vikings are a little better at quarterback. But Foles is capable of good games, too.
Yeah.
It's just inconsistent.
And I might argue the Vikings are better at better defensively right
maybe
now.
So.
I mean, they're not giving up points to anybody.
Ravens beat the Chargers 29-26, and Steve Smith's career looks like it's over in that one, too.
Man, that's a bummer. I mean, the guy's had a great career.
And
don't
it's
get
not
me
like
wrong.
The Ravens have a lot of weapons now. They have to begin nothing. With, he was all they had.
So. I mean, that's a. I mean, they're 2-6, so it's not like they're really fighting for anything anyway, yeah. But that's an unfortunate loss for those guys. And. Good game for both those quarterbacks. I mean, Rivers puts up all the numbers. Flacco had a pretty solid game, too, though. That loss hurts the Chargers a lot more than the win helps the Ravens at this point.
Yeah, though. It does. And the Bengals go in and beat Pittsburgh 16-10. Another just kind of grinded out win for the Bengals. And the Steelers, of course, lose Le'Veon Bell, which looks like that's a long-term injury. Yeah,
D'Angelo, torn MCL. I mean, he's done for the year for sure.
And D'Angelo Williams played okay, but that was a huge loss for them. If they were going to win that football game, they needed Bell, and they hung in there and they had a chance at the end to score. But the Bengals just keep winning.
Yeah, and that game had a real playoff feel.
It did.
So that's a really good win for the Bengals, who, by the way, are now 7-0. The next closest team in their division, the Steelers, are 4-4. I mean, that almost seals the division for them already, which is crazy. But Bengals keep winning. I don't think the Bengals are great, but they keep finding a way. And defensively, they played really well yesterday. Offensively, they were meh, and which is surprising because I think the Steelers are pretty so-so defensively. And both those teams sort of opposite of what they have been. And Steelers just couldn't get anything going on offense for the most part. And played pretty solid defense, but kudos to the Bengals, man. That Andy Dalton and crew continue to roll.
All right, we'll do the afternoon games when we come back. But
yeah, there's something happened in the Cowboys game that I want to get into with you.
Cool. All right, we are going to take a very quick break. Come back, we'll talk about those Cowboys. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Not once I said, hey, that's what you get. I got on one knee and prayed for that man. I got on one knee and prayed for him. Come on, man. Hey, come on, put clips together and do that.
How's your foot? Do you feel any
pain? Yeah, man, my foot good, man. I'm going to be ready for next week, too.
Did the Seahawks accuse you of saying stuff when he was there?
Nah, man, y'all did, man. Bullshit media did. Come on.
And we are back on the Blitz. That is Dez Bryant. And that went viral right after, and I thought it was a little suspicious, and I didn't really believe that he had done that. I mean, I know he's kind of a putz, but I don't blame him for being mad. Before we wrap up the rest of these, I know we have a lot of new listeners who probably don't understand that we have an audience of a lot of teams. So for the guy who keeps texting me, I'll talk about the Houston teams. We did 45 minutes the first hour. It's all available on Podcast Arena, so you can go check it out there. And I'm sure we'll get back to the Texans at some point. So, but there's a lot of other stuff. Okay, so Jets and
talk
Raiders.
More about the 3-5 team that really doesn't matter,
which,
and talk less about the teams that actually have a chance to make the playoffs and win something.
I think we have a pretty good idea on our listenership, and we have people from all over the country, and they get a chance to hear about their team. And yes, we focus primarily on the Texans and on the Big 12 and A&M and things like in UH, but we're going to hit everybody because that's what our listenership wants. So if you want all Texans all the time, I suggest you try someplace else because that's not going to be us. All right. Raiders beat the Jets 34-20. We talked about this a little bit first hour. Derek Carr looked really good. Amari Cooper continues to look amazing. The Jets, however, they lose Ryan Fitzpatrick early and had to go to Geno Smith. Looks like a broken hand. I don't know how that's going to affect things. But
it's his non-throwing hand, which I guess is, if you had to break one, that's the one to break.
But I guess, but it's hard to take a snap with a broken thumb. So, I think that certainly contributed to the game. But we talked about this. I like this Raiders team going in. It's fun watching them grow up. And they finally have started hitting on some draft picks.
Yeah.
All right, so let's.
And this is the third time this year they've put up 34 or more points.
Yeah.
They're getting it done.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Seahawks 13, Cowboys 12.
Okay, but first of all, let's start with what an ugly game to watch.
Oh, that was brutal.
I mean, when Matt Cassel plays the way he played and Russell Wilson plays the way he played, it's not going to be a pretty thing. But there was a play where Ricardo Lockett got knocked out. And Joe, you can stop the music. That's good. When I said something on Twitter about, oh, man, Ricardo Lockett's asleep. And there were people like, oh, classy. Happened to when and by the way, that's what I love about MMA is when somebody gets knocked out, everybody stands up and cheers, and it's an awesome moment because that's what we watch the sport for, is organized violence, which that's why I watch football.
Isn't that why we used to watch football?
Yeah, because I like to see dudes get smashed. And these guys play a game that's a dangerous job, but they know that's part of the deal. But it's like you've got to be silent or something until he stops, until they get him off the field on the cart or whatever. I see dudes get knocked out in MMA where their teeth are clenched on their mouthpiece, their arms are stiff, and they're like blowing snot bubbles. And people don't just get real quiet until they wake him up. I mean, it's part of it. He's going to wake up. And the guy got a concussion. It wasn't a gunshot wound. I don't understand since when we're not allowed to like celebrate big hits and be wowed by.
Oh no, you're supposed to be, because all these concussion tests and everything, AJ. And
then don't play football. You know what I mean? You can't like to have to wait and make sure he's okay, then be quietly wowed by the violence of said hit.
That's one of the things.
It was a badass hit, and it was a clean play.
But you know what? That's one of the things that's making football less fun for me is the they've changed the rules so much where you hit somebody, it's a penalty, basically. And I think it's taken away a lot of the big. And obviously, you want to see guys stay healthy, but they know that when they get on the field. That's part of the game. You're going to get hit. That's why you see so many guys alligator arm balls in their receivers. So shame on whoever complained about that.
Yeah, I like to watch football because I like to see big hits. I like to see these guys flying around and smashing into each other. I mean, I don't like thinking I'm a bad guy because I talked about a dude getting knocked out. No.
No, you're a bad guy.
Maybe I'm a bad
guy. Yeah, but it's not because of that.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do with that. But the game itself, I mean, I give the Cowboys credit. They hung around, but we talked a little bit about this in the first hour. This Seahawks team is just not as good right now. And I think part of it's the offensive line, part of it's Russell Wilson. I'm not so sure trading Unger for Jimmy Graham was a great move in retrospect.
I don't either.
It's not like he had a pretty decent game yesterday, but for the most part, he hasn't done too much.
What's more important to what Seattle has succeeded with? Running the football or passing the football?
That's running the football.
Unger is more important to that team. Not just a center, not just some guy. Like, one of the best centers in football. You trade it for a guy that you just don't use.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're trading the engine out of your car for shiny rims. And it was a stupid move.
And finally, the game last night. Lance says, I bet these fans cheered when Andre fought Cortland Finnegan a few years back. Hypocrites.
Yeah.
The other game last night, we talked about some in the first hour, too. Broncos with their best performance of the season by far. Peyton Manning, very efficient, and seems to be getting the hang of this offense. The defense was terrific, and the Packers really didn't do a very good job of adjusting. And frankly, played their worst game. I'll give the Broncos a little credit for that. I have not been sold on the Broncos. That's the kind of win that's going to get me to pay attention
Broncos were really impressive last night, and it's hard to say that they're not in the conversation for best teams in the league right now, because that's the kind of win that silences doubters.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and everything that people have been kind of iffy on them about, they showed last night that they're not playing around. And there were people like, well, they haven't really played a great offense yet.
No, they did last night.
Last night they did, and they made that offense look mediocre. Peyton Manning's not what he used to be. Well, Peyton Manning looked pretty damn good last night. Aaron Rodgers, 77 passing yards.
Yeah, and had a higher QBR than Tom Brady.
7-7.
But now that's why over the course of the season, I always want to see certain things out of teams. And today the Broncos they've been terrific on defense. Their offense has been lousy, and they've been beating up on bad teams for the most part. But that wasn't the case last night. Last night, the offense was very good. Manning looked very good. The offensive line was much better than it's been all season, and the defense continued to play at a high level. That's what I haven't seen out of them. And that's how you start changing your opinion about teams, is when they start doing stuff like that.
Now, what is there to look forward to? November 29th. That's Broncos Patriots Day.
Yeah, that will be fun. And we shall see. Somebody says, somebody tell me why we got rid of Wade Phillips. Everywhere he goes, he has top five defenses.
Right. Yeah. Until he's been there for a couple years.
For 1 year, they have a bunch of donkeys. Yeah. Once people adjust, which I don't quite get that, because he's running the same defense he has for 65 years. But why it starts off great and then starts to fail, I have no idea. But yeah, that's pretty much it. And let's not go to the shouldn't have got rid of Kubiak. They shouldn't have got rid of Wade. They had to make a change there. Sometimes guys are better fits in other places, and Gary Kubiak was not a good coach his last year here. And really, throughout his career, he was mediocre at best. Maybe you look a lot better when you have Peyton Manning and an elite defense.
Josh says, sounds like it was more than a concussion. Dude's going in for neck surgery today. I didn't know that, but if he is, that's his fault, because he lowered his head down like that. That's a bonehead play on his part. I mean, that happens, man. It's football. Guys get hurt sometimes. I'm not going to stop cheering for football because guys get hurt. That's part of the game. It's part of the game.
A lot of people asking any plays tonight. I don't have any. I guess I would lean toward the Colts, although I just don't trust that
team.
That
number's gotten down like to 5.5. Yeah, I don't want anything to do with it. I like it when it was over 7.
Yeah, I don't trust them enough to bet them. I might play the under, maybe, but I don't really have a ton of opinion on tonight's game.
Sam says, can we agree that Wilson is not a top 10 QB? Well, I don't know how long I've been saying that. Guys, you know how long I've been saying that, John? You've worked with me for as long as Russell Wilson's played football.
As long as he's been considered an elite quarterback.
Okay. Yeah, I thought so.
You know what would be interesting? We'll do this next hour. Because it's flipped a lot. Like, Andrew Luck's not a top 10 quarterback right now.
Not right now.
I'd like to go through and look at who the top 10 quarterbacks are right now and how many of them you would have expected to be there versus how many you wouldn't have.
Yeah.
Because even after last night, Peyton Manning's not a top 10 quarterback this year. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. And we are back on the Blitz. Monday at 5:30. Time for former NFL and cornerback. Unbeaten Stanford Route joins us. What's going on, Stanford?
Unbeaten or unbeatable?
Both.
Maybe both.
Both. Well, we'll see. The next 2 weeks will be the real test for them.
Oh, my God. I can't wait.
You going to be out there?
Oh, I would definitely be at the Memphis game.
Okay.
Definitely.
Not going to the Cincinnati game?
No, not going to that one. We'll be in Memphis.
So you're part of the problem at Tom Herman's.
What'd he say?
Just that he'd like to see better crowds than what he saw the other night, even though it was a good crowd, but he'd like to see more folks out there.
No, like, but with U of H's games, and I'm always going to be a third ward Cougs guy, but the games aren't really, really exciting. Like, they're not engaging. Yeah, they're balling. They're doing everything great. Love it. But the games are not really, really exciting. Maybe it's for me being in the NFL and having a different mindset of how I watch games, but they're kind of boring. I love to see them win. Boy, I love all of that.
I could not.
But they're not.
Could not disagree with you more.
I'm not excited or glued to the television whenever they're playing. I'd like to see them win. I always will root for them. But am I overly engaged in watching their games? I got to be honest with you. No, I'm not.
Dude, they're fun. They're Greg Ward, man. He can.
I love that.
You got a guy that can take off and run. William Jackson is, I mean, that guy's going to play in the NFL. He's a terrific quarterback. Yeah. They're fun to watch, man. I won't even let my wife talk during the games.
And then they got the number one turnover differential in college football.
To me, you're a defensive guy. Isn't that fun, watching guys force turnovers?
Absolutely, but I don't see I see the turnovers. I love that. But it's just whenever I watch them play, I almost kind of get lulled to sleep because they're winning. Nobody's really challenging them, and the teams that they're playing against are not juggernauts in their own right. So that's why you love watching the NFL games, because the games are always competitive. Every now and again, you'll see a blowout, but for the most part, games are competitive. Even if a team gets up 14 points real quick, somebody will come back into the game. It's now 14-7, it's 14-10, whatever. So the games are always competitive in some form or fashion.
We got into this a couple weeks ago. I think the NFL games have been more boring this year than ever before. I really do. And yesterday was the best week that I've seen, especially at the end of the early games when you had Saints and Giants coming down to the wire.
Oh,
you had
that was a good
Bucks
one.
And Falcons going to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
You had Chargers Ravens going right down to the wire. That's the first week where I've just been riveted to Red Zone during that little stretch there because
Red Zone is like a godsend, isn't it?
It's the best.
Yeah, like
it is the best.
I see what y'all mean, but I was going over the standings last night. Like, it's only six teams in the AFC that have above 500 records, and it's I believe seven in the NFC with above 500 records. So, it's a lot of average football being played in the NFL right now.
So I don't know if you heard what we were talking about before you came on, where AJ got grief for tweeting out about that hit in the Cowboys game as a former player.
Which hit exactly?
The hit that knocked out Ricardo Lockett.
Oh yeah. I tell you this, special teams, you have to always keep your head on a swivel.
Yeah.
That's just the number one rule of special teams, and that's why a lot of guys don't like playing on special teams, because everybody has got a full head of steam and it is pretty much every man for themselves. It's unfortunate, but it's a part of the game, and I don't know if there's any way that you can eliminate it from the game.
Well, do you want to, though? I mean, I know you played and you took part in some big hits, and I'm sure you took some big hits. But isn't that part of it?
I've been blindsided plenty of times.
When you sign up, isn't that part of it?
Yeah, that's part of it. When you go to this league and you sign on that dotted line, you're signing on it to chase your dreams, Super Bowls, Pro Bowls, all of that, all pro, everything else, and to feed your family. And one thing amongst the brotherhood in the National Football League is that we all know that at the end of the day, we're here so we can provide for our families, whether it's your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, your kids, whatever. We're all here for that. So at the end of the day, yeah, we're trying to win games, but we also still want to try to take care of each other. Now, there's going to be times where taking care of one another and trying to win the game, they're going to clash a little bit, and you got to make that decision. So you always have those brief moments where those two almost kind of contradict one another. But it's just a part of the game that it's going to be real hard to eliminate.
Stanford Rout, our guest, as a former player, tell me how you can go out there and play one of the worst halves of NFL football ever in the history of the universe one week, and then, and I know you're playing on a much easier team the next week, but come out and look like a totally different team, especially on defense a week later.
That's football. Plain and simple. That's football. One week, you're looking good. The next week, you're looking bad. Green Bay. Green Bay was trash last night against Denver. Aaron Rodgers, best quarterback in the league, and last night he just played horrible, plain and simple. But I gotta tell you this, he ain't going to play like that every other week. And in this league, that's what makes it so great, because each week it's like a different end of the world that you're on. One week you play good, the fans love you. The next week you play bad, all the fans want your job, you should fire the head coach, all of that. It's just that it's part of the NFL season. It's a 16-week grind in the NFL. And the team that's able to stay strongest and keep their head and their composure together towards the end is going to be the one hoisting that trophy back in early February.
You know, the Raiders have been a laughingstock for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it must be exciting for you as a Raiders guy to see them actually out there and looking like maybe a, I think they're a potential playoff team.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you see in that team, and do you really think that they can hold on and make some noise?
I think that what I see so far is, man, that Amari Cooper, he's going to be something special. And that Derek Carr, he's the catalyst. He's the catalyst because, like I said, as I've watched him before, that offense, whenever they jump out on you early, they're going to win the game because they're jumping out on teams early like the Chargers. They just beat down the Chargers last week, which, man, that was so happy. I was so happy to see that. And then yesterday against the Jets, who got the number one defense in the league right now, they jumped out on them. And their secondary and their defense is still a little shaky at times. But with that offense, I think that's really going to be the key for them down the stretch. And I believe this week they got Pittsburgh coming up. I know they got Denver again. They got Kansas City twice. San Diego one more time. They got Minnesota, Green Bay, Detroit. So it's gonna be interesting to see how everything comes down to the wire. But if their offense still looks as crisp as it did the past 2 weeks, yeah, they're going to be tough to beat.
How amazing is it what Charles Woodson's doing at his age?
You talking about Benjamin Button? That's what I call him. Man, Wood, some people, I remember Warren Sapp told me my rookie year, you got some people that are just literally born to play football, period. They're just born to be football players. And he's one of those guys. I love watching Wood play. He takes great care of his body, apparently, and he just has a nose for the ball. He just has a nose for the ball, man. I love it.
Wish you could have played that to that age?
No, talking about 39?
Yeah.
Nah. No, I mean, trying to rest.
Yeah.
I don't even want to work when I'm 39.
Well.
But, no, he's a great dude, great leader, great person, and just a great role model. You got to love everything he does for them.
What do you expect to see tonight? The Panthers have been surprisingly good, and the Colts have obviously struggled. But we're talking about it off air. Andrew Luck apparently has had rib injuries, which they didn't report, which is kind of funny since they're the ones who went after the Patriots. But that's all right. What do you expect to see tonight out of Andrew Luck and the Colts against Panthers?
I tell you this, Andrew Luck, depending on how healthy he is, allegedly, I think that this could be the game where this could be a team that could knock off Carolina. The way Andrew Luck is, he's a gunslinger, and he's going to throw the ball and throw the ball and throw the ball and throw the ball. And he doesn't care how many interceptions he throws. He doesn't care how many times he turns the ball over, how many sacks he takes. He's the type of quarterback he's going to keep coming at you. And a guy like that could actually knock off Carolina because Carolina is, what, 6-0, 7-0, whatever it is. I don't see them going down the whole stretch undefeated or unscathed. I see somebody knocking them off, and it's going to take a team who's got a actual crazy quarterback that's not going to just sit there and play a watered-down offense, just throw checkdowns, and basically just play to what the defense wants you to do and make it a long, drawn-out game where they just come up, make the tackle. It's going to take a quarterback who's a gunslinger who's going to throw that pill around and let the chips fall where they may. So I don't know what's going to happen tonight. There's a good chance that Carolina is most likely going to win, but Andrew Luck is the type of quarterback that can go in there and come out with a victory.
All right, that's Stanford Rout, former Raiders and UH cornerback. You can follow him on Twitter at srout26 with two T's. Stanford, appreciate the time as always, sir.
Thank you, guys. Happy to always be on.
Love it, man. Love getting some insight from former players, Fred. I know that you were a former player too, but we just don't talk about your career here.
Yeah, my career that ended in trying to walk on my first year of college. That was the end of it.
I much prefer hearing this from a guy who... You know,
he was a little bit higher level. Not much, just a little, maybe a full second faster than me.
Right.
A little more athletic, and you know, other than that, I mean, if I'd had his talent and speed and skill,
right, you would have been there.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
All right, guys, got to tell you what's going on with HBO Sports tomorrow night. They present Kareem, Minority of One. The much-anticipated documentary about Hall of Famer Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, which reveals the complexity and genius of the NBA's all-time leading scorer, both on and off the court. That's tomorrow, November 3rd at 9 o'clock Central Time. You all know Kareem is the NBA's all-time leading scorer, six-time MVP, world champion. The film spotlights an athlete who had an unparalleled impact on and success in basketball and has witnessed numerous landmarks over the past 50 years. So, and it marks the first time since retiring as an active player that Kareem's come out and participated in a documentary telling the story of his life. So played an era when the dunk was banned in college, so he used a skyhook. Time magazine called him history's greatest player. ESPN called him the greatest collegiate athlete of all time, and now you'll be able to see his story, hear him speak candidly on a lot of things on Tuesday night on HBO. Nobody does sports better than HBO. We say that all the time, whether it be Hard Knocks or whatever they're doing. They always do a fantastic job. So check them out. Minority of One, Kareem, Minority of One. That's tomorrow night, Tuesday, November 3rd, 9 o'clock Central Time, only on HBO.
La, 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 love. I tried too hard and she told my feelings. I was there on the day she died. Blood on my hands, throw them up in the sky.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. Raheel and the ESPN 97.5 road crew gear up for the game Wednesday at the University Co-op Store in Uptown Park. Stop between 5 and 7 and get your UT gear for this weekend's game, Texas versus Kansas. And while you're there, don't forget to pick up the new edition of the Blitz T-shirt and get your Blitz on. I'm going to go on record as saying Texas will beat Kansas.
Okay. Bold.
I know it's bold.
Yeah.
But, God, that game was so hard to
watch. They do.
That was so pathetic.
If they lose to Kansas, I mean, you have to pretty much, that guy can't, he can't stay around, right?
No.
You have to make
the move
then. Sweeping changes.
And it's funny because, even when we were watching the game, and even the wife is sitting there just going, how the hell does this happen at Texas? Over and over, man. And of course, she was getting a little drunk by then, but it was funny because I'm trying to explain to her. It's like, dude, I can't answer this. And it's one thing to get beat by TCU. It's another thing to get shut out by Iowa State. Dean said, I went to the Texas State game when they played at UH. I don't know why more people don't go to the games. Good team, nice stadium, and they sell booze. Yeah, that's kind of – and they've got, like, good beer there now, too.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great atmosphere. I didn't get to go Saturday because I had some family stuff that I had to deal with. So I wound up not being able to go to the game. But I get out there to as many as possible, and I'm going to try to be out there the next 2 weeks. And I think if you haven't been out there, it's awesome. I mean, the stadium's fantastic. There's plenty of beer. And, just get on that train. Take that train out there so you don't have to worry about it. Then you can go back downtown and party afterwards. It's a great atmosphere, and I'd like to see people fill it up the next couple weeks.
We've been talking football all day, and understandably so.
And we got to do a gym of the day.
Oh, damn, okay.
Well, do you have a story that you want to do? Because all I have is a Florida guy, so.
Oh, yeah, I've got a story for sure.
We'll let this be your gym of the day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Panhock Jeweler gym of the day. Well, this is a follow-up gym of the day, and my whole thing, I wanted to talk some basketball. We'll need to talk some basketball.
Oh, gosh, yes. Well, we'll do that to start 6 o'clock.
But you heard last week we did the story on Yusuf Mack, who was the boxer who –
Wait. Before you do this, just for those of you who are going to complain, if you got kids in the car, this is explicit material. You might want to just turn the radio down, and that way you don't need to complain to us.
So you don't have to explain anything to your kids?
Right, about – in homosexual pornography.
Right.
Okay. That's done.
Well,
it's on you from here on out. It's not on us.
Yusuf Mack came out and he retracted his allegations that he was drugged into appearing in a gay adult film. And he also came out as bisexual. This is from Mack. This is an issued public apology from my heart. I want to address a few situations, with the first being the false claims I made about being drugged during the Dog Pound adult film. I have never spoken negatively about the company that produced the film, although the claim to have been given a drug by someone during set was a lie. I was completely aware and fully conscious during the film. He says, in explaining why he decided to appear in the film, he said, the second situation, which further explains the first, concerns my lifestyle. I did participate in the adult film because at the time I needed money, but also because I am a bisexual man, meaning I enjoy safely being intimate with whomever I choose. My life was completely destroyed once it had been outed that I participated in a gay film. I selfishly tried to cover the truth and remain in denial rather than accept the fact that I was leading a double life secretly. After reflecting on the mess I had made, I realized that I hurt a lot of my loved ones and people I cared about the most were left disappointed and confused. It was unfair and time to come clean. I want to say sorry to my children and my ex-fiance.
Time to come clean, huh?
I am so sorry that I was a coward and hid a huge part of my life from you all. He says to his former friends who now feel disgust knowing that he is bisexual, he said, I'm sorry, but this is my life. I'm not looking for sympathy or even understanding. I've kept this secret a long time. It's time to move forward, and this is me walking in my truth. There are other men and women that are set up in similar situations, and I just hope I can be inspiration to be just be or to be just be you. The extreme taboo and harsh criticism of living a same-sex lifestyle, especially as an African-American male, makes it hard to be completely honest and comfortable within yourself, but I had to remember that I am a champ, and I can fight and will fight through this. I am more than my sexual orientation. To all my supporters, I thank you dearly.
Can you be bisexual and not necessarily do porn? Isn't that possible?
That's possible, but okay, he needed some money, right?
Okay, yeah.
Gay porn pays better than straight porn.
Does it really?
I don't know. I would assume. Otherwise, okay, the guy would have done straight porn.
To be honest, I haven't been making that much on the straight porn stuff lately.
Well, yeah, maybe time to
branch out.
Expand your horizons.
Mm, okay.
You want to come clean?
Yeah, I think maybe so.
Now's the time. I'll still support you, Fred. Don't worry. That's your Zadok Jewelry Gem of the Day. The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jewelry Gem of the Day.
Yeah, I think this thing on Facebook is for you. I don't understand how anyone can watch Wilson play football and not see a starting quarterback. Maybe Texans fans let me finish because he's misquoting you. Maybe Texans fans have spent too many years watching second string QBs. I'm not calling the man Brady, but geez, people, wins and losses don't say anything anymore. If you can find 10 better quarterbacks to throw the rock for your team, I'm not sure we need to speak.
Okay. Well, then let's just not speak.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure if we go through it, we can find 10 guys that you put on that team that you'd say, you know what? They'd be just as good,
hey,
if not
guess,
better.
You want to hear a couple guys? Let me just give you a list of a couple of players that have higher winning percentages in their career than Eli Manning. You ready?
Why is Eli Manning in the conversation?
I'm just as an average guy, like, okay, wins and losses.
And you tell me who you'd rather have out of Eli,
yeah,
Manning.
Yeah, you tell me who you'd rather have. Eli Manning's career or Brian Hoyer's?
Oh, Brian Hoyer. He's a Texan.
How about some more guys with higher winning percentages than Eli Manning? Tim Tebow? Just win, baby.
Womp womp.
Drew Stanton, Ted Bridgewater, Colin Kaepernick, higher winning percentage than Eli Manning. Nick Foles, higher winning percentage. By the way, Nick Foles and Colin Kaepernick, they're not alone just ahead of Eli Manning. Colin Kaepernick and Nick Foles also have higher winning percentages than Drew Brees. So if winning football games is the only stat that matters, then cool. You're going to have Colin Kaepernick, and I'll take Drew Brees and Eli Manning. But that's not the only thing. Listen, I think Russell Wilson is a starting caliber quarterback. I didn't say that. I just said I think that the guy is overrated. And I think you're starting to see more and more now, especially when the team is not as dominant defensively as they have been and they're not able to run the ball like they have because the offensive line isn't what it used to be. He's a good athlete. And he's not one of the best quarterbacks in the whole wide world.
I don't think you get very far past 10.
I don't either.
And I think he's at the back end of that group. I think you could make a case he's 8, 9, 10. But if you were to basically go through and say, okay, if this guy's on the Seahawks, better record or worse record, or the same.
Right.
And I think you're going to get 7 or 8 deep at least, probably a little more than that.
And there's going to be guys where you can take your guy and I'll take mine and there'll be discussion and you'll say I'm dumb and I'll say okay, but that's just what it is.
I think I'd
rather have Tony Romo quarterback my team than Russell Wilson.
We'll finish this when we come back because there's some names on here. I want to play that game with and see how deep we get just off the QBR leaders.
Okay.
But we'll do that in a minute. Right now, yeah, it's really cool. Everybody asking us all the time, when are you going to be at Two Blows again? When are you going to be at Two Blows again? Love coming out there. Well, you guys don't have to wait for us. You can go out there tonight and watch a game. It is a great, great place to hang out. love Chip and the gang out there. They know how to give you a good time with a sports bar because they give you great food. The TVs are set up where you can watch everything. If you missed being out there this weekend and missed all the college games and all the NFL games, get out there tonight, watch the game, sit back, relax, enjoy a cold brew, enjoy some great, great food. Enjoy it. Very, very cool staff, man. They do a great job out there. And it's the cool thing is, it's a great place for the whole family. If you want to take the kids there and have some dinner and have a few brews, that's great. You're going to fit right in. If you don't want to take the kids, you want to go sit at the bar and flirt with the ladies or the guys, whatever you're into, guess what? You're totally cool with that, too. You know we love Tupelo's. We're out there all the time. It is the perfect neighborhood bar with a great, great menu. And it's got great restaurant food and terrific alcohol to choose from. So go check them out. 2907 Rayford Road in Spring. Tupelo's, tupelos.com.
And I ain't living in the past no more. So peace to your heart.